Hebrews chapter 4 will be our focus of study this evening. Hebrews was a book written to a group of new believers, not new necessarily in their physical age, but since the book was only written 60 to 70 years after the death of Christ, Christianity itself was relatively young, the church a babe still, and yet already tempted to stray from Christ. There were great pressures on them to do so, as the world around them hated them, as it hates you today, because it hates Christ. They were undergoing persecution that today in our world still exists, but where in our world it's just popular, in their world it was popular, legal, and encouraged. Christians were second-class citizens. And under that persecution, many of them sought to go back to the old ways. They either turned to their own flesh for relief, or back to the ways of Judaism, turning their back on what Christ had accomplished. But Hebrews was written to remind them, and to identify that the Messiah had come. He had come. He had made the changes that he promised. He was the eternal hope of the believer, and richness for all who were poor in spirit. So hear now the word of the Lord, Hebrews chapter 4, and our focus will be verse 9, that there remains a rest, a Sabbath rest, for the people of God. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, let us fear, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who had formerly the good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord richly bless his word. Be diligent to enter into God's Sabbath rest by faith in Jesus Christ. That is our point today. That's our understanding. Be diligent to enter into that Sabbath rest of God by faith in Jesus Christ. The Israelites, though God miraculously freed them from Egypt, still did not believe. verses 1 and 2 tell us, "Therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard." The people had heard the word of God repeatedly, spelled out clearly. How many of us have looked at the books of the scriptures and wondered how anyone could remember such detail, so many great instructions made so clear? Not only did they have that, but they had plagues that struck their enemies. They had a sea parted before them. They had water coming from rocks, all at the hand of the Lord God. But they didn't believe. The word and miracles simply were not enough to change a hard heart. Faith must be united with knowledge for salvation and the entrance into God's rest. Because without faith, it's just noise. It's things happening in the background that you walk past and ignore. And that's not good enough. Faith gives the gospel, the good news, fertile ground in which it can grow. And the good news is, for those who believe, that unbelief, that fuel for our God's enemies, who are our enemies as well, was doomed from the very beginning. The very beginning. Because Sabbath rest is a creation mandate. All the way back from the beginning. Here are verses 3 through 5. "For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again in this passage, 'They shall not enter my rest.'" Now that somewhere, which the writer of Hebrews talks about, is Genesis 2:2. When God had completed his works of creation, he rested. And that doesn't mean that he was tired, because God isn't like us. It meant the work was done. It was complete. There was nothing left to do. There's no creation going on now. As the word tells us elsewhere, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything grows from what has already been created. He was finished. He pronounced it done. Does that remind you of another portion of Scripture, where the work was pronounced finished? Jesus Christ on his cross, upon his death, said, "It is finished," because his work of redemption, fulfilling his covenant of redemption for those who would believe, was finished on the cross. It was done. And so, for Israel to keep attempting to go back to the old was essentially to call Jesus Christ a liar. And that is the danger of unbelief. Picture it this way. A man promises that he will show up on a given day at a given time with a truck loaded with enough groceries for every family in this area. Each and every one of you. And he's not going to charge anyone. He's just going to give it away. And so the cynical, fleshly response is to doubt him, call him a liar, maybe even call him a fraud. Wonder, did he steal these? Is he going to give us something that belongs to someone else? Will we get in trouble for accepting this great thing? But on the day promised, the truck pulls into the lot. The driver gets out, his helper gets out, they open the rear of the truck. Lo and behold, they begin handing out groceries. Free of charge. Take it here. It's yours. Go home with it. Do whatever you want with it. Who gets their share of the groceries? Those who showed up because they believed. And the rest go hungry. Be like those who believe and be filled with the goodness of Christ. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Here, verse 7. He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Time and again, our gracious Lord gives opportunity for a faithful response. Time and again. And for those who deny it, who rebel against it, their end is darkness. And there is nothing else. To hear God's voice and disobey it is quite possibly the most dangerous thing you could ever do. Hear these examples from the Word of God, and know that rebellion carries a high price. I won't wait for you to turn to these. I know we're reading a lot of Scripture, but if you can write them down, do that and look at them later. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry." Psalm 106, verses 23 to 27. "Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in his word, but grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he swore to them that he would cast them down in the wilderness, and that he would cast their seed among the nations and scatter them in the lands." Psalm 95, verses 6 to 11. "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore, I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter my rest." By hearing the word of God, the written word, you are right now, today, hearing the voice of God. Not my voice, but what is written, because this is the word of God. And you can have confidence in that. As Peter wrote in his second letter, chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have this prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is the voice of God. Will you today believe the word of God and enter into that rest? Or will you be like those who doubted the truck driver and go hungry? Worse, will you ignore him and be like those who fell in the wilderness? And what a miracle it was, even beyond the famous miracles. For 40 years they walked, their feet didn't swell the Word tells us. Their sandals didn't wear out. 40 years, and they still didn't believe. Beloved, today, when you think of entering God's Sabbath rest, cease your works and enter God's rest for your soul. Verses 10 and 11 tell us, "For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience." Without faith, rest is impossible. There are really two kinds of faith. Everything else can be traced to those. You either have faith in God or you have faith in yourself. Has self ever given you rest? When Joshua's spies saw the land of Canaan, most of them came back and said, "They are giants. We can't beat them." But not Joshua. And not the faithful. And so Canaan was conquered by faith. But the fact is, you won't take your neighborhood, you won't take your kids' school, you won't even take your family with any of your well-crafted, highly researched plans unless they are rooted and grounded in faith in Christ Jesus and following His ways. You see, beloved, by faith, when he has entered, who has entered his rest, has himself ceased from his works in Christ, in his own flesh, as God did, he then finds that it's easier. It's easier. Because when we do our own work, we're butting our head against a wall that will not break. But when we rest in the work that God has already accomplished, it's already done. The Father rested. The Son rested. Now you rest. Rest. By faith in Christ Jesus, believers have already entered into the Sabbath rest of God. Did you know that? Right now, you who believe are already in that Sabbath rest. You deal with the physical difficulties of this world, but your spirit can have peace no matter what's going on. And that is a promise of God. There still remains a physical fulfillment when your body fully enters that Sabbath rest of God. But for now, hang on to the faith. That spiritual peace given by God only to His people. And because it is only God's people, we can know that when we look at other people who seem to have that peace, but it's rooted in the world, it's not real. And it's not godly. And we can know that because God's Word judges real and fake faith, just like a surgeon's scalpel. Here, verses 11 through 13. "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to deal." The life of faith is governed by godly principles. Honor the Sabbath. Love the Lord your God with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. A great career and perfect family are no guarantees for peace. Yoga doesn't offer rest. Karma is the pacifier of the world's ignorant. Even memorizing the scriptures without faith gets you just about as far as 32 Hail Marys. There must be faith, beloved. There must be. Think of Hebrews chapter 11, that great faith chapter. All that those individuals there are credited to have accomplished through God, through real godly faith. The walls of Jericho will not fall because of karma. The walls of Jericho come down because of faith in the Lord and obedience to Him. The Apostle John wrote those beautiful words at the beginning of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And we know that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. Jesus Christ and no other. And so, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, knows your faith. And better yet, because you know yourself, I know myself, He sympathizes with our weaknesses as well. He knows our weaknesses. Verses 14 through 16 tell us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Throne of grace reminds us that Jesus is the King of Kings, with authority given to Him over all heaven and all earth by God. When Jesus received His reward for His amazing faithfulness in that covenant of redemption, not considering the cross something to be scorned, but going out of love, out of faithfulness. He is also the great high priest of the beloved, this verse reminds us, this passage. The high priest was the one who directly intercedes between you and God. We have the example of Moses, a servant in the house, but the Son, whose house it is, took his place and did it even better. And now, at the right hand of God, intercedes for you who believe, saving you from the wrath of God, day in, day out, week, after month, after year. This is Jesus Christ. And how wonderful is it to know that He doesn't just know what He wants you to be, but He understands your temptations. He feels your pain, quite literally. He knows your weaknesses. And in Him, in Jesus Christ, is the strength to stand. To set those temptations aside and be like Him because of His Holy Spirit. He knows your heart, beloved. He knows your heart, so rest. Rest your confidence on Him, not in yourself, not in a 12-step program, not in your memorization program. Rest your confidence in Him and His outworking. That is where your victory lies. That is how you enter the Sabbath rest of God. There is no other way. It's a wonderful thing that every Lord's Day, we get a foretaste of glory divine. Every Lord's Day, we get a little bit of that eternal Sabbath, which we will physically enjoy in time. We step away from our normal daily work and even our normal daily recreation. We worship the Lord. We nurture, fellowship, and encourage each other and rebuke each other when necessary. That won't be necessary in the final Sabbath. Thank the Lord for that. And we get a little bit of what it's going to be like for all that to remain outside. No sirens going past. No horns. It's just a little taste. But it's a good thing. And through the week, you can carry this with you by the presence of God in you. So that no matter what anyone has done to you, you can stand. You can stand. The Hebrews, the persecution they underwent, we've not even touched it yet. And yet some are already falling away. May it stop for you today. May it stop for you this very day, as you trust in Christ. Beloved, verse 9. Verse 9 is a promise unbroken, unbreakable. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This word, Sabbath rest, sabbatismos in the Greek, this is the only place in the New Testament this word is used. It's very specifically and carefully tied by the writer of Hebrews back to creation. This reminds us that in time, this will all be done and over with. And what you suffer today, it's real. Your griefs, your pains, your tiredness, it's very real. You don't need me to tell you that. But your rest is real too. And I don't want you to forget that. That sabbatismos, that final rest, when all the work is done, God the Father created through the Holy Spirit, pronounced it done. Jesus Christ went to the cross, sealed the opportunity for your redemption, and pronounced it finished. And today, you stand here, able to say, yes, Lord, because of what He did. My prayer is that you will do exactly that, trusting that by faith, you will physically enter His Sabbath rest, that rest of completion and celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ, that place free of pain, free of tiredness, free of fear and frustration, permanent, eternal, and glorious, full of rest and purpose for your life. Purpose. How many have wondered, why am I here? What is my purpose? You have purpose in Jesus Christ. You matter. You do. And you will matter for eternity as you serve the Lord alongside the Beloved. Be diligent this very day to enter God's Sabbath rest by faith in Jesus Christ. How do you diligently enter into rest? Be reading His Word. Be studying His Word. It's the voice of God Almighty. Be in prayer, talking to the Lord. Be in prayer for others, sacrificing your time, disciplining your own spirit. These are acts of diligence in searching for the Lord. Don't just read and memorize the Word. Ask the Lord to make it real for your life. Ask the Lord for wisdom, and He who grants liberally will give it to you. So be diligent, beloved, to enter God's Sabbath rest by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, there is no other rest in this world besides You. As we see what goes on, we try our own plans. We try the world's plans. Sometimes we even listen to what the enemy says. But all those things just point us right back to You. So when You send Your enemies to discipline Your people, when You sent Babylon to take Israel into captivity, they learned. So whatever we face in our future in this land, because we've let this land go so far, remind us that we can cry out to You and say, don't forget me, Lord, and You won't. That we can stand firmly, knowing that our spirits are placed firmly in that Sabbath rest already, and that one day our bodies will be there too. Take this people, Lord, Your people, and seal Your truth to their hearts, to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing now.